music will radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. Now how are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till
it's
too late. The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
Welcome all, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages. We're here today again, Saturday, I guess it's the 22nd of February. My goodness, March is right around the corner. Purim is coming. And don't forget, the Passover is coming for many as well. The white Adamic Caucasian Israelite people of the Bible shall be having their fellowship and their obedience to the laws given unto Moses. And, you know, speaking of the laws of Moses, in the book of Exodus, which I am rereading now for the second time, it is quite a pleasure. I got to tell you, and I was telling somebody the other day who listens to the program, and we were talking, and I have a habit, and that is that when I read in the scriptures so deeply with the meditation and the scriptures set out before me, the Holy Spirit descending upon me, I just cannot help but get a little teary-eyed. I do sob a little bit when I see what God laid out for his people, what he laid out for them, his covenant relationship with them, and how he loved them so much that he laid down the laws for them that they might prosper and they might do well. And if they did not do these things, then, of course, they would suffer the consequences. That's just natural law. So here I am again in the book of Exodus, you know, and in 16. I've gone way beyond this now, but I just thought of 16 as a good example of here they are coming out of Egypt and they're sojourning. And already they were murmuring and complaining. Typical, isn't it, huh? Well, it's typical of people in general, but it's particularly odious for our people to be constantly shoving it in the face of God. And this is what they do. This is what we've all done at some time or another. Don't say you're perfect. Don't say you've been perfected in God and that you've never done anything like that, because you have. Everyone has. But you see, the difference is that when you know you've done it, and the Holy Spirit now descends upon you, then you realize you've done wrong, and you don't have to be told. You know it's time to straighten out. And that's why I look at 16, and I look at, you know, like the verses like 3, for instance. And the children of true Israel said unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh and by the hand of the Lord, and we had pots and pans, and when we did eat bread to the full, we got full and fat, and then we have brought to us all of this misery and suffering. Now, where? In the wilderness. What have you done, Moses? Trying to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger and famine and thirst, no water, nothing. And then the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate, each for his own family needs, and I will prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. Now see, God already foreknew this, and he knows us today. He knows how stubborn and thick-headed we are as a people. And he understands that. He doesn't condone it. He doesn't like it. But he knows it, because this is the way they've always been. You know, Jacob have I loved, despite what Jacob done. And Esau have I hated. But there is a main basic difference here. You know, we have to learn the hard way, you know? It's either the easier path or maybe the bludgeon over the head. So, of course, Moses and Aaron and the Levitical priests all told the children of Israel that they better shape up or ship out. Don't you have faith all the way through Exodus? Don't you believe in the God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage? Well, they had to be shown it. They had to be proved. So God sent manna from heaven. He sent them bread. He sent them water. He told Moses, strike the rock, and it shall provide water. Now, where are you going to get water out of a rock? Well, obviously, God can do anything. Anything good, not bad. So they had to be shown this. We think of doubting Thomas. We think of others who just couldn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. This is the test of time, because, folks, we're coming on the time when Satan is going to make his appearance in Jerusalem, and he's going to come as Jesus, the false Messiah, and people are going to be saying that is Jesus Christ, he's returned. Widespread ignorance of the scriptures, widespread misunderstandings, all kinds of stereotypical notions, ideas that we have implanted in our own mind through tradition, you know, tradition, fiddler on the roof. Well, here we are today doing the same things. And we're not learned. I mean, we don't even want to study. I do. I feel guilty if I don't read every single morning to get my day started. I really feel like I haven't bathed, like I'm dirty. And I can't do it. I have to do it before I go out. And if I can, if I'm in a hurry, I come back and do it right away. I do it in hard copy right here before my eyes. I don't like to read off a cell phone screen. You know, I have vision impairment and so forth, but it's still beside the point. I like to do it the old-fashioned way. I'm really more of an analogic person than I am a digital person. So this is what works for me. And I always like to start the program with something scriptural, because to me, you know, there's no other purpose. Again, there's no other purpose under this sun for life except to understand that we are here for a purpose, each of us. And he created us, each with talents, each with abilities. Some people say, like Moses would say, I have no talent. I can't speak. I can't go before Pharaoh and do this. And God had to reprimand him a little and tell him, you will be given the words. The Holy Spirit will descend upon you as it will in the last days, when some of the people that God has elected to appear before Satan will be given that spirit, that tongue, multi-tongues all over the world, you know, cloven tongue, where they will speak against Satan as directed by the Holy Spirit. So, just a few thoughts along those lines. And later on, we're going to have Art in the program. And he's going to join us, you know. Interesting week ahead with, what's his name? Harvey Weinstein. You ever see him? You see pictures of him walking with the walker or the cane, and how unfortunate he appears. A poor, befuddled, and belittled man, once a mogul of all of the studios, direct contacts with his buddies in the Mossad. And now he's so humble and so ill. We can't help but feel sorry for what he has been said to have done to a number of women. And, you know, I want to bring that up a little bit later, too. I have my thoughts and my suspicions, but when you think of Weinstein, don't in any way disassociate him from Jeffrey Epstein. There is a direct connection. All roads lead to Jerusalem. And we'll find out what's going to happen this week. But that's a topic that will come up later as well. I'm going to play for you today some audio. Again, historically speaking, I think you're going to find this fascinating, folks. First of all, we're going to listen to Harry Solomon Truman. And, you know, in these days, prior to 1952 and 3, there was no television State of the Union address. It was all newsreels. So we have the newsreels following World War II, 47, 48, 49. which brought to the nation in theatrical performance these addresses by the President of the United States, the State of the Union. Well, starting around 1952, we did have televised States of the Union. And you could sit there, if you had the gall or the nerve or the stamina, to listen to and watch, Dwight David Eisenhower or Harry S. Truman. Well, Harry S. Truman is giving a speech, the address to the nation. But this is not the State of the Union address, actually. This is his acceptance speech for winning the nomination of the Democratic Party to be President of the United States. Now, mind you, we're hearing the same shenanigans and the same malarkey right now. All of the Democrats in disarray, all of them attacking each other. And by the way, I agree with all of them when they attack each other. Not for the reasons they give, but certainly I do. And here we have Donald Trump. He is the unparalleled, unquestioned champion and paragon of everything that the grand old party is supposed to stand for. The opposite of socialism, the opposite of Marxism, the opposite of communism. Well, let's hear what Harry Truman was saying in his acceptance speech, which almost sounds like the State of the Union address to me, and how he is addressing, how he's going to address the previous administration, what Roosevelt brought to us in 1933. Folks, it is absolutely amazing how nothing does change under the sun and how we go from the embrace of the so-called New Deal to an expansion of the New Deal, but now we have something new. Following the war, we have an enormous tax burden, and we have the growth of government here at home. My, socialism does indeed exact its penalties, doesn't it? Big government growing at a faster pace, states enacting states' taxes, income taxes. So I always say that we lost the war, and we did. And we did for a variety of reasons, but that is one of them. So let's hear Harry Solomon Truman right now tell us about his embrace of the Democratic Party and the ideals.
Wages and salaries in this country have increased from $29 billion in 1933 to more than $128 billion in 1947. That's labor. And labor never had but one friend in politics, and that was the Democratic Party and Franklin D. Roosevelt. And I'll say to labor just what I've said to the farmers. They are the most ungrateful people in the world if they pass the Democratic Party by this year. The total national income has increased from less than $40 billion in 1933 to $203 billion in 1947, the greatest in all the history of the world. These benefits have been spread to all the people because it's the business of the Democratic Party to see that the people get a fair share of these things. This last worst 80th Congress proved just the opposite for the Republicans. The record on foreign policy of the Democratic Party is that the United States has been turned away permanently from isolationism. And we've converted the greatest and best of the Republicans to our viewpoint on that subject. The United States has to accept its full responsibility for leadership in international affairs. We have been the backers and the people who organized and started the United Nations, first started under that great Democratic President Woodrow Wilson as the League of Nations. The League was sabotaged by the Republicans in 1920, and we must see that the United Nations continues a strong and going body so we can have everlasting peace in the world. We've removed the trade barriers in the world. which is the best asset we can have for peace. Those trade barriers must not be put back into operation again. We have started the foreign aid program, which means the recovery of Europe and China and the Far East. We instituted the program for Greece and Turkey. And I'll say to you that all these things were done in a cooperative, bipartisan manner. The Foreign Relations Committees of the Senate and the House were taken into the full confidence of the President in every one of these moves. And don't let anybody tell you anything else. As I've said time and time again, foreign policy should be the policy of the whole nation and not a policy of one party or the other. Partisanship should stop at the water's edge, and I shall continue to preach that through this whole campaign. I'd like to say a word or two now about what I think the Republican philosophy is. And I'll speak from actions and from history and from experience. The situation in 1932 was due to the policies of the Republican Party control of the government of the United States. The Republican Party, as I said a while ago, favors the privileged few and not the common everyday man. Ever since its inception, that party has been under the control of special privilege, and they concretely proved it in the 80th Congress. They proved it by the things they did to the people and not for them. They proved it by the things they failed to do. Now let's look at some of them, just a few. Time and time again, I recommended the extension of price control before it expired on June 30th, 1946. I asked for that extension in September 1945, in November 1945, in the message on the State of the Union in 1946. That price control legislation didn't come to my desk until June 30th, 1946, on the day on which it was supposed to expire. And it was such a rotten bill that I couldn't sign it. And 30 days after that, they sent me one that was just as bad, and I had to sign it because they quit and went home. It was said when OPA died that prices would adjust themselves for the benefit of the country. They've adjusted themselves all right. They've gone all the way off the chart in adjusting themselves at the expense of the consumer and for the benefit of the people that hold the goods. I called a special session of Congress in November 17th, 1947. And I set out a 10-point program for the welfare and benefit of this country, among other things, standby price control. I got nothing. Congress has still done nothing. Way back 4.5 years ago, while I was in the Senate, we passed a housing bill in the Senate, known as the Wagner-Ellender-Taft bill. It was a bill to clear the slums in the big cities and to help erect...
Well, folks, I don't want to hear much more. I'm sure you don't. But doesn't it sound like Bernie Sanders today? Huh? Boy, I'm telling you, man. Oh, man, there is nothing new under that sun, huh? Evil continues to expand with each day. We'll come right back with more Rick Adams Uncensored.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Morlocks had become the masters and the Eloi their servants. The Morlocks maintained them and bred them like cattle.
All right, we're back, folks. Now, you notice about Harry Truman? He represents the mafia, the La Cosa Nostra from Missouri. A few other senators came from Missouri. You know, you think of Stuart Symington and all these radical left-wing New Deal socialists come out of the woodwork because of their allegiances to the mob, to the Cosa Nostra, which told America you could not be a free market society. You had to be a dependency society in order to advance whose goals? Their goals. How did it help Americans become and stay independent of government? Well, it did just the opposite. And this business of isolationism, yeah, I guess so. The Japanese found out that we had to break our mold of isolationism in order to kill the children. So, you know, Harry Truman was that mafia guy. I never forget the fact, and as Dan Smoot said in that report on Israel, that is the state of, calls itself Israel, the Middle East, Harry Truman, that avaricious, greedy, sell out your country at any price as long as it helps me type of guy, extended diplomatic recognition, the first, in 1948 to recognize the evil fig tree in Jerusalem. He did that in May of 48 so he could win
the electoral votes, the electoral college, and get enough votes to put him in to the White House against Dewey. So, interestingly enough, he sold out his country. He sold out the principles of non-interventionism, of independence, of mind your own business, and against world meddling in order to justify that state in the Middle East that would drain America, drain the world, and cause the grief and suffering and disgust of millions of untold victims. So that was Harry S. Truman in a nutshell. Now, of course, he glossed over all of that bitter history. We don't expect him to be honest. But this is the kind of man that Americans were told they had to vote for, to continue the great policies of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now, the Republicans weren't much better. I'll agree with him on that. You know, Herbert Hoover was called a Fabian socialist. He was not a free market capitalist. I mean, he was nowhere nearly as bad as the Roosevelt factor. Well, again, a choice was given the American people. It was either Herbert Hoover or the Democrats. It was either Tweedledee or Tweedledum, way back before many of our younger listeners were even born. Look it up. Not in these fake history books, but in these real history books. And that's why we bring you the voices of these people here, so you can hear for yourself, unedited, unencumbered, exactly what these people were doing to us. And they knew full well what they were doing. They knew the founding fathers or the framers said one thing, and they were saying the opposite. We could argue over the whole business of the founding fathers, but that's another topic for another day. Point is that they called Americanism that which was, in essence, the exact opposite of Americanism. And now we're paying the price for it. The Democratic Party today is that Democratic Party of yesteryear. And what's more, the Republican Party is almost an equivalent. Where do you hear Republicans denouncing interventionism, talking about our sordid past and worldwide wars? Where do you hear that from them? No, it's just, we can do a better job of it. We could do a better job of killing and invading and terrorizing and occupying. Well, that's not a Republican alternative, my friends. And the libertarians, for all practical purpose, they don't exist. So you see, it's way past that time now. We've advanced to the rear, to the point where now we are in the home stretch. And the home stretch is, do you want to go over that cliff at 110 miles an hour with a Democrat in the White House? Or do you want to go at 45 miles an hour with a good, staunch, make America great again Republican? Well, I don't want either one. I want to stop right there, jam on the brakes. And the only alternative, and there is only one, is looking up, not down. Unfortunately, the American people have lost their moorings. They have no idea what is happening to them or how. But they love Trump, the white middle-class Americans. Say Trump is our guy because he's saying all those things that we love. You know, itching ears? Well, sure, he has to. Is he doing what he says? No. There's no swamp been drained yet. No, we never got to any investigation of 9/11 because he is part of that mob that brought us 9/11. He can't. He knows it, and that's why the media have been very good to Donald Trump. As far as I'm concerned, they really wanted to bring him down. My friends, they would trot out all of his skeletons in his closet. And they ain't about to do that. So let's get over the fake presidents, fake politicians, fake parties, and let's get real. This is the fight of the end times in these days of two seed lines, the good and the bad. Now, we need to understand that. The next clip is coming up, and this will explain what's happened to America since that time. Very fascinating look back in history. Folks, stay tuned. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
How dare you call yourselves patriots and heroes? If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, you are just plain wrong. There is no freedom.
Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you.
If he's Thank you. I am watching out for martial law, yes, and general law, too. All right, folks, Rick Adams Uncensored, and now I want to switch a little bit here to another part of history that I've referred to many times on these programs, and that had to do with something called the Reese Committee in Congress, 1953-1954. The Reese Committee, this was during the post-war years when studies were being conducted by certain patriots in America and the Congress to bring about an understanding, a reason as to why America's educational institutions, her political institutions, her economic institutions, and her religious institutions had been subverted, and by whom. All right, now we understand that. These are the four hidden dynasties spoken of by Zechariah, I believe, the prophet. Okay, so listen up. This man, many of you know him, and of course he was quite a patriot, and he began the whole process of investigating Congress. You know, he was the attorney, I believe, for the committee itself, and his name was Norman Dodd. Norman Dodd was the attorney for the Reese Committee of Congress. And you're going to listen to a program, Patriot Radio program, that introduces the subject now in this first segment. This is the first segment, Ken, in which he discusses an interview
that is going to be forthcoming with Stan Monteith, done in the 80s before he died. But Norman was quite a guy. He was quite a real patriot at the time who was sincere about finding out these tax foundations needed to be investigated. Why were they promoting socialism and Marxism? And you remember one of them admitted that we are promoting socialism in America so as to reshape the world and American political institutions that we might be comfortably merged someday in a one-world political system and economic system. This is what they were doing. And he brings it out, too. You know, the people that were advocating world peace in the 1930s were the people who advocated worldwide war first. Many people don't know that. All these United World Federalists and all of these United Nations types like Truman spoke of, they were advocating peace, peace, after they killed tens of millions of souls. Pretty good, huh? That's a pretty nice comeuppance, isn't it? Go to war so we can have peace. That's the formula, war for peace. It hasn't changed, has it, over 100 years since the inception of the Federal Reserve System? No, it hasn't. It's only gotten worse. And now we're reaching the end of the ripple effect, aren't we? They planned it out. Satan and his children planned it out many, many moons ago. And now it's all coming to fruition. So when you hear the Democrats arguing over how are we going to drive us to bankruptcy and total destruction first, and who will get us there in a better way, and the Republican, Trump, saying, oh, don't worry, I'm steering the course. I'm taking us out of Afghanistan so we can move right into Syria again. And that's what they're doing. Folks, it's all one big, massive hoax. And most people don't have a clue as to what's really happening around them. But it's so clear to me. It's so apparent. And I don't have 20/20 vision. But still, I can see. And that they can't see. So I thank God for that knowledge, for that truth. Because he's shown it to me. He's shown me the history. Right now, I want to go back to that portion of time, the introduction of this man, who was Norman Dodd, and no relation that I know of to Christopher Dodd, the senator from Connecticut, who was involved with his father, Thomas Dodd, who was a patriot, by the way. Tom Dodd was pretty good in the 50s. But when he came in, Christopher Dodd in the 70s, that was a whole nother ball game. Todd Frank, you know, the bailout of the institutions, the lifting of the reserves in the banking field, so on and so forth, which led to the major debacle of the 2000 era. So anyhow, that's another topic for another day. This is Norman Todd is coming up in just a few minutes on the second segment. But I want to hear a little bit from this Patriot radio host who's introducing the subject matter. And I think he's doing a pretty good job. G. Edward Griffin had written about him, had interviewed him as well, and a host of others. As I say, the Stan Monteith interview of Norman Dodd will come up following this. Let's see if we can bring up some of this right now.
Committee that came to be known as the Cox Committee. It was headed by Congressman E.E. Cox of Georgia, and its purpose was to investigate the great tax-exempt foundations. Now, on that committee was a Republican. His name was B. Carroll Reese, Congressman Reese of Tennessee. Well, of course, as so often happens, immediately the media began attacking this committee. And then it maybe had just been a coincidence, but Congressman Cox suddenly died. And that, of course, was the end of the committee. Well, in 1953, the 83rd Congress convened. This was a Republican Congress. And they then called for the production, for the authorization of another congressional committee. This came to be known as the Reese Committee, headed by Congressman B. Carroll Reese. And its specific purpose was to investigate the great tax-exempt foundations. Well, in the foreword to a book written about this committee, Congressman Reese said this, "But it was the function of our investigation to find out to what extent, if any, are the funds of the large foundations aiding and abetting Marxist tendencies in the United States and weakening the love which every American should have for his way of life?" And then he goes on to say, "So we set out to find the answers. We wanted to explore the problems of foundations by examining their actions, not their statements for the public. We felt that they are involved in the concepts under which foundations operate and grew in the United States as certain inherent dangers for the public welfare. We were not blind to the undoubted merits of the contributions of the numerous tax-exempt foundations to worthwhile causes, but it was our intention to find out the factual basis for preserving their constructive function and at the same time for supplying guidance for future legislation and administrative action against the use of foundation power for political ends. The story of that adventure, of what we found, and of the harassment to which we were subjected is included in this book by Rene Wormser, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. Well, let me tell you what happened to the committee. First of all, tremendous pressure was brought to bear on individual members of Congress who were on the committee to force them to stop the investigation. Pressure was brought to bear on other members of Congress to cut off appropriations for this investigation. The committee was routinely attacked by the New York Times and the Washington Post Tribune and by all the major conservative and liberal media in America. Amazingly, a congressman named Wayne Hayes was appointed, and Wayne Hayes came from Indiana, and his specific function on the committee was to disrupt its hearings. In fact, the story is told in the book, and everything I'm telling you can be found almost in this book entitled Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which I strongly recommend to you. But Congressman Wayne Hayes, during one 185-minute period, interrupted the hearings 235 times. Why? Because he wanted to disrupt the hearings. They did not want the hearings to take place. Basically, of course, as the committee proceeded with its investigation under the direction of Congressman B. Carroll Reese, under the direction of the chief counsel, Rene Wormser, and under the guidance of the director of research, a man named Norman Dodd, who you're going to hear from later in this tape, they began to uncover incredible things. And, of course, one of the first things was that the great foundations were being used to change America. They were being used to change us from a free society into a socialist society into a fascist society. They were being used to change America from a sovereign nation into simply one more state in a new world order, into a new world government. They talk on page 204 of the book about the investigations into what the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace had done. And basically, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace had been endowed specifically to bring about world peace. Now, how do you bring about world peace? Well, they decided they had a great idea. They'd bring about war. And on page 204 of the book, they tell about how Nicholas Murray Butler, who was the longtime president of Columbia University, Republican candidate for the presidency at one time, he was well rewarded for his loyalty to the people who worked behind the scenes manipulating the great foundations. But Nicholas Murray Butler was the president of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. And here's what the book tells you. When Andrew Carnegie established the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, he gave the managers of his fund a difficult task. How were they to go about promoting peace? They seemed to have not a very clear idea until Dr. Nicholas Murray Butler, in whose hands Mr. Carnegie put the initial direction of the fund, got excited about the perils of the Allies in World War I and decided that the best way to establish peace was to help get the United States into the war. Let me repeat that. He decided that the best way to establish peace was to help get the United States into the war. And to this end, he began to use the endowment funds. And that's what they did. They used the endowment funds to propagandize the American people to get involved in a war that wasn't our business at all. And working along with J.P. Morgan banking interests and Thomas Lamont and others working behind the scenes, they created a propaganda campaign in America designed for one and only one purpose, and that was to bring America into World War I, where we suffered 126,000 American boys killed, 237,000 injured, many of them carrying the pain of their wounds to their very graves. And what did we accomplish? Well, we were going to get the League of Nations. We were going to get world government. We were going to bring about world peace. And, of course, the League of Nations failed. And so once it had failed, they had to begin working for another war, because wars are a means by which society has changed. Now, if that sounds like a ridiculous statement, I want you to listen to this tape very carefully, because you're going to hear in the second half of the tape an interview with Norman Dodd, the director of research for this congressional committee, who had the unique opportunity of being allowed to send one of his employees to go through the minutes of the Carnegie Endowment for Peace. And, of course, what he found, what the employee, her name was Catherine Casey, as I remember, Casey, Catherine, Well, anyway, you'll hear about it, Catherine Casey. What she found, when going through the minutes of the committee, was that in 1908, the members of the board of the Carnegie Endowment were sitting around saying, how can we change the world? Is there any better way to change the world than to war? But how will we get a war going? And they spent many, many, many months deciding how to get a war going. And then, of course, after the war was going and America was involved in the war and our boys were dying, they sat around in the minutes, and this is all recorded in the minutes, congratulating one another and saying, gee, we did a great job because we're already beginning to change society. Incredible. Well, this is the sort of thing you're not going to hear elsewhere, but you're going to hear a taped interview, which I did with Mr. Norman Dodd in 1980 before he died. I did it because I knew this story was so vitally important, and someday the time would come when the American people had to learn the truth. We have working within our society a cancer that has an objective and goal, and that objective and goal is to destroy America as we've known it. Well, let me tell you what the great foundations have done with their money. They decided that they were going to change the educational system. They began to finance John Dewey in progressive education. And, of course, that was simply a process of beginning to take away phonics out of the schools to dumb down our children so that they would be quite willing to go along with the new wonderful socialist society that was planned. They went to the great universities. They bribed the universities to put their people into key positions, the chairs of history and political science and economics, always pushing the socialist or collectivist agenda. They financed the writing of textbooks, always slanted to the left. They financed the publication of research books, always slanted to the left. They financed such things as the Encyclopedia of Social Studies. The whole story is in the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which is probably one of the three or four most important books ever written, actively suppressed and censored in America for many years and available only through Radio Liberty. So basically, what transpired was that when they financed the writing of the Encyclopedia of Social Studies, they had a socialist write the section on socialism. Well, you'd think that'd be sort of prejudice, and he would glorify socialism, wouldn't you? And then they had a communist write the section on communism. Well, of course, he would be very prejudiced towards making it very apparent that communism was the best sort. But when it came to writing the section on capitalism and free enterprise, they also had a communist write that. And little wonder then that through successive generations, our universities have been slanted to the left. They set out to reward those professors who would prostitute themselves and teach the liberal line, would write articles professing the liberal line. They actually bribed the academics, many of whom were underpaid, and felt that, basically the ruling elite should really control what was going on. And so it wasn't very hard to appeal to the ego of many college professors and to get them to go along with a line of preaching collectivism. Now, you must understand that these ideas of centralization of power with government have never been aimed at really helping the underclass, although that's how you sell it to the people. It has really been aimed at enslaving the underclass and bringing them under government control. And basically, what socialism is really all about, stripped of all of its idealism, a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory. Socialism is force. I think de Tocqueville said it best, speaking to the French Assembly many years ago.
And we have a break now. You've given us a pretty good thumbnail sketch of what they've done over these past decades in America to destroy the old world order and to usher in a whole new relationship of America to the world, to the one world system. Boy, you talk about seduction. You talk about corruption. You talk about being more subtle than all of the beasts of the field. This is Satan. He wants the world to be one under his dominion. That's right. Satan can bring peace. Isn't that what we hear about with Trump? Isn't that what we hear about with the Democrats? Peace in the Middle East. Peace between Israel and the Palestinians. Peace in Europe. Peace in Asia, peace in China. And what they're doing is taking us to pieces. They're destroying everything that America used to stand for, used to believe in, used to advocate, and made her a beacon of liberty to the world. Now we're, unfortunately, a dark veil over our heads. America is gone. America, what it used to be. America is a corpse. And they brought it to us. And we embraced it. We were seduced, just as Eve was seduced in that Garden of Eden many, many, many years ago. There is nothing new under this sun, folks, in this age. Boy, deception is leading up to a major deception coming up in a very short period of time, when all evil is concentrated in Jerusalem, and we're going to see that come to pass. We're going to see all of these figs, these wicked figs, stench. They're going to stink up the world with their corruption and their vileness, which they already have now. But we haven't seen it all yet. We're getting close. Time for a break, and we have another segment coming up, that interview with Norman himself. So you stay tuned. Rick Adams, Uncensored, on this revelatory program today.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Well, thank you. Thank you, W. We certainly appreciate your confession. We're going right back to the segment again now. We're going to go right into this next part of this interview, I think, where we have the interview with Norman, okay, Norman Dodd, was involved with counsel and structuring of the Rees Committee investigation into the subversive activities within this government by the foundations. So let's see if we can bring up some of that now, Ken.
Doing in America. Mr. Dodd, what did you find out was the stated objective and goals of the great American foundations?
We found out, Doctor, that these foundations had as their objective the orientation of the people of this country to the idea of collectivism and thereby nullifying for good and all of the commitment of the country to individualism, which was the feature of the country at the beginning.
Now, how did they go about doing this?
Well, primarily they did it, Doctor, by securing control of what is known as the money supply of the people of this country.
You're speaking now of the money supply that was going into education.
Well, it's the money supply of the people of the country as a whole.
And how did they do this?
They did this by working out a system of banking, which was foreign in its concept, but it enabled it, debt to be what we call monetized, transformed into bank deposits.
Now, how did they specifically set out to influence education in America?
Well, by having at their disposal unlimited quantities of this newly created money and being able to reward the personalities who were active in the world of education, administratively as well as academically.
Were they able to influence the textbooks or the teachers?
Yes, they were. They were able to see that textbooks were almost produced by on order and assuring the publishers of textbooks of the funds necessary to make the publication of those books profitable.
Now, have you personally had contact with some of the directors of these great foundations?
Yes, I have.
Could you tell us about it?
Well, one instance, I'll use a couple of instances as illustrations. One instance had to do with my responding to an invitation from the president of the Ford Foundation, who asked me if, when I was next in New York, would I stop in their office and have a visit, which I did. And on arrival, after amenities, Mr. Gaither, who was the then president, said, "Mr. Dodd, we invited you to come and see us this morning, hoping that you would, off the record, tell us why the Congress was interested in operations of foundations such as ours."
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.